Of Titus this afternoon. The book of Titus. I'd like you to go to chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk this afternoon about a church with good deeds. How we are to have good deeds among us and doing good works. That's what Titus is instructed to do, that from the apostle. This letter was written to Titus, and he, of course, is one of Paul's converts. He's been with Apostle Paul probably 17 years or better now before he gets this letter. Shortly after Paul left him in charge and the believers who are in Crete, this letter was written after that Paul was released from his first imprisonment, and sometime between AD 63 and 65. So it was written. And Paul repeatedly urges them to maintain good works. He's talking to saints now, church. He's talking to the church. And I think it's very important for us that we maintain good works, especially in the day and age in which we live in. We need to be men and women, Christians, who are showing such good fidelity in the good works that we do. In chapter 2, I'd like you to go with me. He says there in verse 1, "But speak those things which become sound doctrine." In verse 7, he says, "In all things, show thyself a pattern of good works." I like that. I really like how, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Well, let's stop there a second, because here I think it's important that we have a pattern to go after. A pattern to be shown. And what is a pattern? It's amazing. Any woman who does any sewing has a pattern that you have to follow, right? I don't sew, and I don't do those things, but I know you have to lay it out a pattern on the material, and you cut out that pattern. Is that correct, ladies?
Yes.
Okay, and then you will sew the patterns together and make whatever it is you're making. If you don't follow that pattern, what happens? You got one arm 10 feet long, another arm 2 feet long, you know. Well, I think I don't need a pattern. I'll just go ahead and cut it out. You're taking a chance, unless you're an awful good at it or professional and know what you're doing. You have to pattern. You have to have a model to follow. You have to have a standard that you follow after. We have to have a mold or an impression that we follow after. And that is what here the Apostle Paul says. Pattern yourself of good works. Now, and what? He says doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. In doctrine, he says. Now, what is that? In the teachings that has been laid down to us. This is our pattern. This is our mold that we, and our standard that we live by. This is the teachings that keep us secure in God. It is the gospel that has been presented to us by our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the very pattern that we follow after. If we're going to do a pattern of good works, then in doctrine, we need to make sure we believe what has been said. We need to make sure we have the same rule among us. Someone doesn't believe this and another believe that. We've got to believe the same thing when the doctrines are laid down to us. We can't believe that, well, Jesus saved some, but you can get saved by somebody else. You're getting out of the mold. You're getting out of the true doctrine that has been laid down to us. If good works are going to be part of our life, we have got to be in doctrine. This is the gospel. Praise the Lord, church. Oh, yeah. Teaching what is unadulterated. Uncorruptness, he says. It is unadulterated. Right? It has no corruption in it. Our doctrine is pure. The mold is right. There isn't another mold we need to make after. You know, there isn't another a gospel that we need to follow after. No, it's already been laid down for us. He says, with gravity. Now, what is gravity? And I did a little research in this and looked it up. It says, having the strictest regard for the truth and purity of motive. Wow. With all gravity. Your motives are pure. I mean, we're not tricky. We're not sly. You know, we don't move around trying to get our way. No, we are men and women of God with all gravity, with regard to the truth and purity. We love the Word of God. We love the doctrines that have been handed down to us through the apostles, through Jesus Christ and the apostles. We love Him and His Word, and we hold true to it, and our motives is to follow them, not to turn away from them, not to ignore them, not that they become something that is just, well, that's nice to know, but I'm going to do this. No, it's the pattern we follow after. We can't escape from it. And he says, sincerity. With seriousness, church. With all seriousness. With all truth. And with all honesty. We are honest about this. We are patterning ourselves after truth, and we're honest in it. And this is to show a pattern of good works. And we do it with all dignity to God's Word. You know, it amazes me how some Christians take the Word of God so lightly, so casually, so take it or leave it, you know. But no, we are to show a pattern, Paul says to Titus, of good works in doctrine, showing that uncorruptness. The Word of God is unadulterated. It is pure.
Yes.
Hold on to what has been taught you with all gravity. And I like that. Be with strict regard for the truth and the purity of motives behind it. God is holy, church, and we must remain holy before God. He says in verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Oh my. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech. Our speech is to be irrefutable. In other words, it is above censure. When we speak, there should be no one to say, you're not saying the truth, or you have told a lie, or that's a falsehood coming from you. When we speak, the words need to be sound. Let your instruction be sound and fit for the hearer. Don't give partial the Word of God. Give all the Word of God to someone. Don't hold back the truth from individuals. We need to make sure we are wise and wholesome in the way we talk to people. For a Christian, they're going to know more about you when they meet you from what you say and what comes out between these lips. You are going to show who you are. Right? I mean, that's how people know you. So that's so important for us. Paul says, have sound speech, good instruction. Make it fit for those who hear you. You know, be above rebuke and be above censure from others outside. Make sure your speech is sound, wholesome to all those who hear us. Now that's what the Apostle Paul's telling Titus. You teach this to the churches. You teach this to the people. You let them know this is how you're to act. I'm not to go around complaining, right? We know that. We shouldn't be. We're not to go around speaking things we ought not to be talking about. We're not to go around to be gossips. We're not to go around to be whisperers and backbiters and telling stories. We're not storytellers, right? No, we are Christians who have been given the responsibility for sound speech. that cannot be condemned, that cannot be looked at and said, oh, that can't be a Christian. No, when they hear us and speak and we speak to them, they can say, that person knows God. That person speaks truth. That person's words are, oh, how do I say, seasoned with salt. Right? We season our food. Why? Why do we season our food? Flavor and at what? Taste. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to season our words with salt that those who hear us will be blessed. And tasting of the Lord. And, oh, that's nice. Tell me more of God. Give me more of God. Tell me more of what God has to say. I like what I'm hearing. Even to the lost, the word of God is true. Now, they may refute it, may say, I don't believe it. It's still true. We have to have sound speech. Can you say amen? Now, this is showing a pattern of good works. This is what Paul has instructed Timothy to tell, Titus to tell the church in Crete and to tell the people there, live this way. Pattern yourself of good works. Secondly, he tells them in verse 14, be zealous for good works. Not only are we to have a pattern, but we are to be zealous. Now, someone tell me what zealousness is. That's how Brother Caudle acts. No. I want a better reason than that. What is zealousness? I want you to be zealous. What does that mean? Lazy? Excited. Thank you. It's not hard. It's not a big test here. I'm not testing. Zealous is to just be excited, church. Listen to what he says here in verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. What? Zealous of good works. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. God has chosen us. God has purchased us. We are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. His workmanship. He wants good works. He wants good works. And not only good works, but zealous of good works. Now, I like what you said. He's being excited. That is true. I wrote down some other things I think it really pulls out this word for us. Sometimes we don't think about it enough. We hear it in the Word of God. And, oh, zealous. That's nice. I guess I need to get a little excited. But it means a little more. It means to be eager. How eager are you to doing the work of God? How eager are you to be involved about God's business? How eager are you to say, "Whoo! I can't wait for the pastor to tell me to do something." Hello? The pastor's not going to tell you anything to do wrong except a good work. Right? That's what he wants you to do good works. Men, he wants you there Saturday to do a good work. And be eager to do it. Don't be dragging your feet Saturday. Don't be dragging your head. Say, oh, I got to put up that tent. No. That is not zealous for good works. We need to be eager, enthusiastic about what God has given us to do. It is a privilege. We need to live life that is good, church. And filled with beneficial deeds. Zealous to do good deeds. Looking and eager for opportunities. Wow, man. Reminds me of Onesiphorus and Stephanus. These men were men who looked for opportunities. Men whom Paul said, they refreshed me. They met my needs. They were there when I need, help and when I needed encouragement. Men came about me and men encouraged me. They were beneficial, working zealously, working eagerly. Also, zealousness is to have a good desire. You know, we desire a lot of things. We desire our sleep in the afternoon. Come on. right? I'm with you. I know. See, it's easier for me because I'm up here teaching now. You guys have to listen to me. Well, you don't have to. You can get up and leave, but you're here. You're very gracious to me, and I appreciate it. But you've got to have a desire. There's got to be a want to, you know. There's got to be a drive behind the individual who was zealous, who is eager, who is enthusiastic. There must be a drive. In other words, there's got to be a fire in you. Oh, yeah. Woo, I could stop here and just preach on the Holy Ghost now. We need His fire.
Right.
We need the power of the Spirit of God, the fire of God to engage us in good, zealous works. I'm not here for me. I'm here for God. Yeah. You're not here just to sit on a pew. You are here for God. And you are His workmanship. And God wants you fired up.
Right.
God wants you eager.
Right.
God wants you filled with zealousness. And that is also termed for passion. If I got up here and just talked to you in a mundane voice and, you know, let me read the Word of God here. Well, you know, particular people, zealous of good works. Oh, these things we speak and rebuke with all authority. Oh, that's the man of God. I guess he may be perfect. Yeah. I'm going to lose you in a minute. You can say, what in the world? The man has no passion, the man has no eagerness and no desire to give me God's word. I don't want to hear him. I want a man who's full of faith. I want a man who's full of zeal. I want a young woman, a woman who is full of the zeal of God and baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit that they may do zealous works for God. Woo! Glory! Hallelujah! It's hard not to just take off, I'm telling you what. Being zealous for these good works, as he talks about here, takes a willingness in our part. How many of us are willing to do what God wants done? Willing to pay the sacrifices? Willing to take and to do whatever it takes that God receive the glory for the work that I do.
Yes.
There must be a willingness of a heart that is given over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we zealous for those good works? Deuteronomy chapter 14 verse 2 says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee." I like this. "To be a peculiar people unto himself above all that nations that are upon above all the nations that are upon the earth." God has chosen us, church. We are blessed people of God. We are his peculiar treasure that he lives in us, and he expects us to show zealousness for good works. How many believe that? Who's got their Bible open? Brother John, turn to Ezekiel. I want you to read Ezekiel for me. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 23. And I want you to hear what Ezekiel says. I'm not putting you to sleep, am I? Okay. Ezekiel 37, 23.
Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places, wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God.
We are a special people. God has chosen us to bless others and to bless his holy name. Thirdly, in chapter 3, if you go with me there, verse 1, we are to be ready for every good work. Wow. Not only to show a pattern of good works, zealous for good works, but ready for every good work. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready. I like that. To be ready to every good work. He didn't say to be ready for some good works. But what? Every good work. I may not want to do it. Be ready. For every good work. I don't want to clean the bathroom. Be ready. For every good work. I don't want to vacuum. Be ready. Come on. These are just basic things. You know, sometimes, I just don't want to do it. I just don't feel like cleaning the church this month. Oh, be ready. Come on now. Amen. Some are coming up for a new month. I don't even know who they are. Where are they? Y'all know who you are. And I'm coming up in August. Praise God. Be ready to serve. Amen. That's what he says here. And being ready in every, that is all good works, church, all of them. But being ready is to be prepared. We know that we have a work to do. Let's prepare ourselves to do it. Again, we need to be willing to do any upright and honorable work. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's honorable and upright, we will do it. With no complaining on our lips. With no justifying why we can't do it. No. The Bible says be ready for every good work. We need to be prompt about that work too. Especially, I'm going to speak to us as Sunday school teachers and ministers and those who are involved in singing and those who have any type of leadership ability that are up here singing and playing instruments. It's not a time to be late for church, is it?
No.
You are called upon to do a good work.
Right.
And God requires you to be in your place. But it's such a small place. It's an important place.
Yes.
I'm glad I got this little pinky where it is.
Right.
If it was gone, I'd be upset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I got my feet where they are.
Right.
And my feet says, I think I'll stay home today. I couldn't go anywhere. You understand my point? We are all the body of Christ, fit into this body for the good working of God. So be prompt to do and be ready for every good work. You know what else? I think we need to be alert for a good work. How many of us are actually looking to do something good around us, you know? My wife shared with me, and she didn't know I was going to share this. She shared with me this morning. She goes, you know, honey, we sat out on our porch this morning. It was nice and cold. I like it in the morning. We sat out there, and I still got a blanket all around me. And my wife, she likes talking about the Lord early in the morning. I like that, you know. She's out there, and we're talking about God. And she goes, you know, honey, I went to the store yesterday. I'm thinking, okay. You do that every day, just about. But she says, you know what? I saw this elderly woman. And she was out there by her car. And she had this big container of water. You know, that you get those big, heavy, like we got back here. We got out of Sister Woods' van, those big cases of water. And those are heavy. And this woman was, I think you said, in her 70s. Probably in her 70s. She was an elderly woman. And my wife, the Lord told my wife, said, go over there and see what you can do to help. Oh, my wife walked over to her and said, ma'am, do you need some help with that water to put it in your vehicle? And she just got all happy. The lady, she says, you know what? They told me they would send somebody out from the store, but they never came. That would be so kind of you if you would help me get my water into my vehicle. My wife says, sure, no problem. She picks up the water for her, puts it in the vehicle. And the lady says, well, thank you so much. I just couldn't lift that big, heavy thing of water. And a smile on her face. My wife starts walking away, you know. And all of a sudden, a smile comes on her face. I helped someone today. Oh, well, that's a little thing. That's a great thing. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How many times have you needed help? You say, oh, man, I wish I had my brother here. I wish I had someone here to help me. You know? Look, be alert. God has opportunities for us that will just astound you if you are alert, looking about you, able, ready for all and every good work. And that goes along, if you're going to be alert, you better be eager. I mean, you can't say, my wife couldn't say she's going there and seeing that woman with a water problem. Well, I see the problem, I'm alert to it, but you know what? I'm just going to keep on walking to my car. Uh-oh. It profits nothing then, does it? My wife, instead, she helped, and then she was blessed. She walked by another woman, gave a big smile. The other woman smiled back. You know, it's contagious, folks. When you start being good to others, they, in turn, will be good to others. It's just the way it is. And so I think we need to be ready, as the Apostle Paul said to them, for every good work. Be prompt. Be alert. Be eager for that work. In verse 8 of chapter 3, we are also told to be careful to maintain those good works. Wow. Look at what it says. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Not sometimes, right? All the time. That they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Yes. Careful to maintain good works. Doing good. Carrying on, church. Doing what is right. Applying yourself to an honorable occupation. Amen. Yeah. Whew. We are to be careful. We are to sustain ourselves and keep ourselves and maintain those good works. There has to be a continuation in that work. Here the Apostle Paul speaks to them, be careful to maintain them, to keep them up, to keep doing good, to keep going. To press on, church. Amen. Oh, to be mindful. Being careful is to be mindful. Taking the oversight of something. Has the pastor ever asked you to do something? And you forgot to do it? Am I the only one? I forgot to make an announcement. Made it late. Or maybe not the pastor. How about some other brother and sister? Oh, I promised to get to you about this and that, and you never do. And they're waiting. You know? We need to make sure that we take the oversight and that we are careful that when we make an oath to someone or we pledge to someone, that we do what we're going to say we're going to do.
Yes.
They expect it. Mm-hmm. You would expect it. My brother's coming over to help me in my yard. He never shows up. What? Now I'm left all alone to do it. He told me he was coming. What does that do? Well, it starts to say, what's on his mind? You know, did he lie to me? You know, the devil starts bringing things to you real quick. How come he didn't come over? Be careful to maintain the good works. Make sure you're mindful of them. Make sure you regard those works. Make sure you take heed to the work that it is maintained. Amen. Carry on with it, church. How many believe that? So, we are to show a pattern here. The Apostle Paul is telling Titus, this is what I want you to teach. This I want you to show the church. Make sure they have a pattern after good works. Make sure they're enthusiastic of it over and over. Be zealous for the works that you are doing. Ready for every good work and careful to maintain those good works. That's our responsibility as Christians. Don't you want others to speak highly of you and good about your God? You know how they'll do it? When they see your good works. They will glorify your Father, which is in heaven. How do they know? Because of your works that you do. They see them. And they can't condemn them. But they have to give praise to God for them. I hope and pray. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 tells us, for we are His workmanship. I shared this. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're supposed to walk in these good works. God has molded us and created us. And God is taking us. We are His peculiar treasure. And God wants to make sure that we are His people who are patterned after good works. Wow. If you follow these rules, not from Mike Caudle. These aren't Mike Caudle's rules. This is what the Word of God tells us. And this is what the Apostle Paul told Titus. Teach these things. Teach them. I want the church to make sure that they realize we are God's handiwork. We are born anew. We're not of the old nature. We are born anew. We are new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. Therefore, I don't go to serve myself. I am now the servant of God. I don't look to please myself. I look to please God and what God wants me to do. What He wants me to do is good works. He wants me to pattern after Him. He wants me to follow His doctrines. He wants me to follow sound speech. Whew! That cannot be condemned. He wants me to go on in Him, a new creature, living what I call the good life. I don't know, people say Christian life isn't a good life. I beg the difference with you. It's the best life that we can live because God has given us the foundations and the things that we need to live this life as God wants us to live it. It's exciting. All right, I'm done. That wasn't too long, was it? You did good. You stayed awake too. Praise God. Stand with me. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Now, if I would have taught on numbers, I have about 20 pages here. We would have been here a little while. No. But God is good to us, church. He is so good. I want us to go throughout this afternoon. Oh, knowing that whom we serve is a great God,
right,
who loves us and has given us all things that pertain to godliness.
Right.
And God has enabled us to live richly in this world. I want us to be full of faith, full of assurance in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Pattern yourself after good works, okay?
Yes.
Amen. Even when it seems hard and it seems like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. You can do it, church. Through the grace of God, you can do it.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to help you. He's going to help you. Heavenly Father, I ask you to go with our church. Bless us, dear God. Strengthen us as we go to our homes. I pray, Lord, that you would watch over us and keep us. Keep our pastor, Lord. Watch over him and those with him. And I pray, God, that you would give them grace and help them, Lord, to teach and to preach your word and to just help others to understand it and help others to grow closer to Jesus Christ. You're working through this, Lord. We know it. And we ask God today, and we thank you for the day you've given us, that this is your day, and we honor you. We honor you with all of our substance, with all of our heart, all of our mind and strength today. Let us be good stewards of the Word of God. Let us be good workers of good works. that you may be glorified, Lord. We're not looking for glory. We're not looking for praise. We're not looking for that of a pat on the back or a good job. We are just looking, God, that you would look upon us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear from you, Lord. And we desire you walk with us through this week until we meet again this Wednesday. Pray that you be with Brother Jonas, and Lord, that you're able, hopefully, Lord, he'll be able to be with us. And we're looking forward to his sharing God's word, his sharing all that he has for us about Tanzania and the work that is going on there. And Jesus, be with us through this night and protect us on the road and our travels, and just let us be safe, God. Because, Lord, we are your church, and we're looking to do great things. Use us. Use us, Lord, in this coming tent revival, that we can be a blessing to all those who come, that we can reach out to them and share Jesus Christ. We ask it in your wonderful name, Lord Jesus. Amen.